It's hard to know what to do next in the stock market.
Where am I? What am I doing here?
That's because one expert's rally is another's prelude to a correction.
Of course, people do go both ways.
One manager's buy is another man's sell.
Have you come to any conclusions yet?
Each day, the Money Life Market Call brings you a different expert's take on where to invest and what to avoid.
Now listen, Grapehead. I'll explain it so even you can understand it.
Just as important, you'll find out the reasons behind that thinking, and that should make your next financial decisions easier and smarter.
We do have a system, and it works.
It's the Money Life Market Call. Now.
The only reason we're here is to make catty observations and rude remarks. And that was nothing good on TV.
Actually, we're here to make savvy observations and shrewd remarks. Catty and rude would be kind of a bonus, but I think you're going to find savvy and shrewd from my guest, Martin LeClaire, Chief Investment Officer and Portfolio Manager at Barrick Yard Advisors. Now, if you are not familiar with the firm, go to barrickyard.com. They're on Twitter, at Barrick Yard. Martin LeClaire, welcome back to Money Life.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here, Chuck. Thanks for having me.
You have a methodology which I really like because you explain it so well and it makes so much sense. So let's start there. Help them grasp and understand what it is that you do.
Well, the thing I think people should first of all realize is that we're an investment firm and not a speculation firm. We define investment as any asset that generates cash for the owner's benefit. An asset that does not produce cash, such as art, precious metals, raw land, is speculation. And included in speculation are the many businesses that trade as stocks, which generate negative cash flow, because we believe a business that generates negative cash flow is also a speculation. So the investment process that we engage in involves analyzing how the cash is generated from the asset, where it is going, and how likely the odds that the cash will continue to be generated and to what degree. And since we believe investors can only truly benefit from compounding cash flows if they give the process time, we are therefore long-term investors. So that's kind of the playing field. And in addition to that, we kind of look at the world as there being two types of investments. You have cash return investments, and you have total return investments. And the first type I mentioned, cash return investments, are investments that pay out most, if not all, of the cash to the owners. So, for example, bonds, also income-producing real estate, toll-taker business models like pipelines and ports and utilities. These are examples of cash return investments. And then total return investments, notably businesses, may pay out some or none of the cash that's being generated, and instead using that cash to reinvest in the business to try to enhance the value of that asset over time. And managers who are competent will enable the shareholder going along for the ride to benefit from the compounding of those reinvested cash flows. And hopefully, over the long term, the intrinsic value, the underlying value of that asset will improve as a consequence, and that's how you make money in the stock market.
What people didn't hear in there was a whole lot of concern for what's happening now. How much, if any, do you put any sort of macro overlay into the picture?
Well, although we buy an asset and think in terms of holding it forever, I'd be lying to say that I'm not a human being and I'm not affected by, you know, security prices going down. And that's a psychological thing, an emotional thing that I'm constantly guarding against making an emotional decision. But specifically to your point, we do frame all of our investment decisions looking at the big picture and in terms of trends, which are not a question of if, but when. So it's a question of when things will happen, not if they happen. And to us, looking at the macro picture that way also reduces the speculative nature of what we're doing and lends itself to true investment.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about some things that have made it through the process. I mean, you talked about the kind of businesses that you're looking for without giving us any examples. So let's get to an example or two.
So we have a three-pronged process in terms of when we're picking stocks. And you know, we have a global opportunity set. We can go anywhere. And everything's grounded in our five enduring principles, which I don't want to get into now for sake of time, but your listeners can go to our website and see them. And each security is subject to its own risk controls, including valuation metrics. We really don't want to pay too much for things. Competitive advantage, we want businesses that are enduring. Financial strength, we want businesses that can handle sort of even if the economy turns crummy. And then there are qualitative factors, such as the quality of the stewardship of the business, and what we call skin in the game, which are businesses in which the people running it also have a huge equity interest in that business, which to us is a predictive long-term attribute. And it's just common sense. You know, who will look after an asset better, someone who's renting the asset or someone who owns the asset? And I think most people, I think pretty much everyone would say owners look after assets better than renters. So we are currently the opportunity set. We have synthesized it down to three broad areas. One is what we call skin in the game double discounts. And these are businesses run by people with large ownership stakes. These are companies which own other businesses. So they're called holding companies. And globally, there's some really high quality ones which are very, very reasonably valued, actually very cheap. And this is the way we get broad equity exposure. So, for example, in Europe, we own, and I personally own, Pargesa, which is a holding company, two wealthy billionaire families. This is where a big chunk of their net worth resides. And they, in turn, own some of the biggest blue-chip European companies out there. And for basically $70, you can own $100 worth of these blue-chip assets. In Asia, the Jardine Matheson Group, that's a company that's been in business for a couple of hundred years. They own some of the highest quality businesses in Hong Kong and in China. They're based in Singapore. They own the largest publicly traded company in Indonesia. And again, Jardine Strategic, for example, right now is in the low 30s, and you can own around $55 worth of assets at that price. And then here in the U.S., an example would be Icahn Partners, which is Carl Icahn's vehicle. He owns 85% of the stock, and underneath it is his hedge fund, as well as large equity stakes in companies in the agricultural business, the energy business, and Apple stock. So that's an example of skin in the game, double discounts. We also like out of favor blue chips, which are well-established businesses that have fallen out of favor in the current market. IBM is the poster child for that type of investment. And then thirdly, we own rarities, which are businesses that have the ability to dictate prices to consumers or have very long product cycles, in some cases generational, or offer true luxury experiences. And an example of that would be the French company Hermès, which have products such as the Kelly bag, which has still has a waiting list, and they've been manufacturing that product since the 1950s.
What's the sell discipline? What makes you sell, and maybe what's something you recently had to move away from?
Well, we sell if we believe we've made a mistake. We sell for tax reasons, so we'll sell if we want to do a swap. So we may like the industry, and if the industry has two or three key players and we own one of them and all of them are down a bit, then I would say that we would sell in that example. And then thirdly, we sell if the company gets taken over or there's some sort of a merger or acquisition type of thing. Obviously, the third one is the best. The second one is one in which we believe we're right. It's just that Mr. Market has told us that we're wrong in the short term. And the first one is clearly an example where we've been wrong.
Well, now we're going to see whether you see my audience's picks as buying opportunities or things to maybe stay away from.
Play, hold it.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold up.
It's hold it or fold it time with my guest, Martin LeClaire. He is the president and portfolio manager at Barrick Yard Advisors. If you are not familiar with the firm, go to barrickyard.com And you can also follow them on Twitter at Barrick Yard. You know how Hold It or Fold It works. We're a bit late getting into it, so we'll jump right in. But we're going to start with a request that I think is an easy one because we sort of heard you mention it early. Joe in Colorado Springs wants to know about Icon Enterprises. That's Carl Icahn's company. It's IEP.
I own it personally. My clients own it. I like Icon Enterprises. The thing that investors must realize, though, is that it has a very illiquid float. What that means is that even though it's like a $10 billion market cap company, Icon himself owns like over $8 billion worth. So it's almost like a small cap in terms of how it trades. So it can be all over the place in terms of the price. But I think you need to look underneath it. They have a wonderful presentation on their website in terms of what you're getting for your investment dollar. And they have a great track record. I think that Icon is one of the preeminent value investors out there. And I think as a long-term investment, it checks all the boxes for us. You know, heavy insider ownership, undervalued assets that generate a lot of cash.
Yep.
And quality assets.
There you go.
I'm in this for the long haul.
That's a buy on Icon Enterprises, IEP. Joe in Colorado Springs had two other requests we're going to get to today. The first, Advanced Micro Devices, AMD.
Well, I would have a sell on AMD. They have a generational record of destroying shareholder value. They have lack of scale. They have a big problem called Intel Corp and always have had. They're always going to turn things around, but they never do. They have terrible financial strength. The balance sheet is very, very weak. And they've shown that they're not good at, you know, executing their game plan. So I've known this company for many, many years, and I would say that there's no investment merit there.
So much crap, they had to start a second pile.
Yeah, but you want to take that pile and move that money, or the smaller pile of money you're going to get out of it, someplace else. That was a sell on Advanced Micro Devices, AMD. Joe's third request, Barclays PLC, that's BCS.
Well, Barclays, I'm neutral on, but so the interesting thing is this, is that it's trading at about a 20% discount to its book value. And historically, it's always a good time to buy the big banks below book, and then you sell them during the cycle when they're trading above book. So Barclays meets that. Secondly, their capital ratios look pretty decent. Unfortunately, it's not very profitable. They're still suffering from the lingering effects of the financial crisis. Their return on equity is only 5.9%, and that's less than their cost of equity, which is about 10.5%. So a lot of good things need to happen for their cost of equity to equal the return on equity to equal or exceed their cost of equity within the next 3 years. And they've promised to reduce expenses significantly and shed non-core assets and focus on their successful markets in the U.S., Europe, and Africa. So in order to buy this stock, on the one hand, it is selling at a discount to its book value, which is very positive. You need to believe, first of all, that they can get their return on equity up to over 10.5%. That they'll stop engaging in costly misconduct behavior, as some of these big banks do, which has been costing them billions. And then secondly, they need to somehow grow their top line. So I don't know what the answer is to those three things, and that's why I'd wait. But it is compelling from a valuation point of view.
Please proceed with extreme caution.
Yeah. Well, you were neutral. So that's a hold. Hold it if you got it. But you're waiting for something more compelling if you don't on Barclays BCS. Josh in Petaluma, California wants to know about NovaGold Resources, NG.
Well, I would have a sell on this. The issue is this, is that who knows where the price of gold is going to go. And NovaGold is sort of a developmental company. On the positive side, their mines are well located, and from a political point of view, they're in Alaska and British Columbia, so there's no political risk. However, from their own documentation, the net present value of their gold mine down the road is about half of its current market cap at $1,200. At $900, it's value destruction. So these gold miners are really difficult to pick, and I think the only rational way to own gold is through the royalty streaming companies and the ones which have no financial debt. But to me, that's the only way to play gold. But again, just like oil, who knows where the price is going to end up during this cycle.
Yeah,
it
so
a lot lower.
It didn't sound like you were actually having any sort of buy on anything gold, even though you would play it differently, but it was definitely not a buy. That was a sell on Nova Gold Resources, NG.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
Last, in the limited time we've got left, for Frank in Millersville, Pennsylvania, it's Starwood Property Trust, STWD.
Well, this is the best-in-class non-bank financial in the commercial real estate industry. And they have a commercial mortgage-backed securities business, which is, you know, they borrow money to then own these mortgages, and it's a nice business. They have a servicing business, and also they make investments. It's trading at 10 times earnings. It has a decent yield of 8%. It probably will be subject to the headwinds of maybe rising interest rates, but I think it's a buy. Barry Sternlicht, the guy who runs it, has a stellar reputation, and he owns 1.3 million shares.
So you put it all together, and that was a buy on Starwood Property Trust, STWD.
Bye, bye, bye. Is that all you can think about?
All I can think about right now is goodbyes, because I have to say our goodbyes to Martin LeClaire, Chief Investment Officer and Portfolio Manager at Barrick Yard Advisors. Again, they've now in Washington, D.C. And if you want more information on the firm, BarrickYard.com, on Twitter, at BarrickYard. Martin, it's always great to chat with you. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Chuck. Great to be here.
Well, we have just about wrapped up another week on Money Life, but we've got big things planned for next week. I'll set you up for that, leave you with a thought for the weekend and more as we close out the August 7th edition of the show right after this message.